views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio, your guide to practical mindfulness and meditation. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day. Watch yourself connecting in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now here's your hosts, Tim Darter and Steve Kramer.
Hi, welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. I'm Steve Kramer.
And I'm Tim Darter.
We are joined by a wonderful guest, Carol Martin. She is back. We had Carol on earlier this spring, and this week we are covering a step of the practice called asana. So each week on Spirit Fire Radio, we have a guest on the show who might offer us a bit of insight just by the very nature of their work and their profession, their passion, their career, into the tools that we're presenting during the week here at Spirit Fire. We've got a 14-step meditation program that we offer as part of our educational nonprofit, and we do live online meditations all week long, basically all year long. And within those 14 steps, well, each one is a week long. So each week we have a different guest on. And this week we are meditating with the step alignment. And it's step number 8, very special step. You would almost think that this step would come at the beginning of the practice because we think of asana as our seat, is how do we sit? What position are we in? And you'd think you'd want to tackle that right away within the practice. But it takes a bit of observation. It takes a bit of knowing how to get one comfortable so we can really notice the intricacies of alignment. And Carol, we're excited to have her with us today.
Hi.
Welcome back to the show, Carol.
Thank you so much for having me back.
So what interested us this week was we know that Carol, you teach a wonderful class called the Enlightened Living Seminar. And when you were here before, we were talking about your book, Breathe. Really a wonderful book. I have got it so marked up, and I've got all the pages folded over and highlighted and pens and colors. It's really such a delightful book, and it goes hand in hand with an Enlightened Living Seminar. And the last time you were on the show, we sort of talked about the relationship between this book, Breathe, and that seminar. And we talked about the various aspects of it, the physical aspect, the emotional aspect, and the mental aspect. And you mentioned the Alexander technique, that you've incorporated that into your seminars. And last week we had somebody talking about Qigong, and we thought it would just be so wonderful to have you back on and tell us a bit about the Alexander technique and the ways that it relates to the work that you do. So I'd love to, before we get into it, just tell our listeners a little bit more about what you do. And you are an amazing writer, first of all, a massage therapist. You practice craniosacral therapy. You are an esoteric healer. Is there anything else you'd like to add to that? I mean, the list of modalities all centering around alignment, around creating space and alignment with the physical body, alignment with really our subtle systems as well. So quite a bit of services that you provide. Yeah, Carol?
It's interesting that you've asked me to come back at this time because you're so right about, you know, bringing this step of alignment in later, because the truth of the matter is that ultimately to produce a good alignment in your life with, say, for example, your physical, emotional, and mental bodies even lining up so they can coordinate better, people need to actually know how to connect with the various points that need to come into alignment. And a lot of us being distracted in today's society, we live in a society of speed and distraction, and the going within process to find the points that need to be first found and then inhabited so that we can then work towards aligning. And the magic comes when, as everyone already knows this is true, the magic of life happens when all your ducks are in a row, so to speak, which is to say when you are in good alignment, which is to say many things. And my course and my book talk about accessing first, the most important first step is the observer part of ourselves, which brings our consciousness into the heart center, and then to align in an alignment and an attunement process with both the earth and our souls. So that is one alignment that is going to permit the natural connections that already exist to become stronger. And so what we're doing is, in a way, learning how to get out of our own way so that the natural magic, which is life, which is healing, et cetera, can happen more easily. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that really is life, is trying to get out of our own way. And you talk about yoga quite a bit, you know, here at Spirit Fire, and we've got lots of yoga retreats coming in and out of the retreat center. We have lots of yoga practitioners actually on the radio show. And so much of what they talk about is actually, when we start to relate it to meditation, so many of them talk about the fact that yoga was originally created to create space within the body so people could actually sit for longer periods of time. And I love that, you know, that really in the end, it's about getting the aches and pains out of the way so that one can, as you say, get ducks in the row and create an opening and an alignment in a way that we don't often we don't consider that there's can be more and more and more and greater alignment. I'd love to read I'm going to read many paragraphs from your book. We didn't get a chance to do that so much on the last show. And there's just so much juicy material, Carol, in this book. I really love about it. We're going to talk about it in depth a bit later in the show. But this quote is about alignment. And you say the purpose of alignment, one purpose is to facilitate the natural bridging process that occurs in life everywhere, cosmically and in our individual dense physical bodies. Bridging can be said to be the cornerstone of our evolutionary process.
Right.
I love
that. I don't know where I get this stuff from, Steve.
You're aligned. You know, you're aligned.
It just comes through.
Yes. It's beautiful. I mean, and that is actually what comes through in this book, because the words hold such a beautiful energy. And there's a macro and a micro within almost all of the writing in this book. You know, you really can zoom it down as close to your dense physical body. Much talk in the book about ways breathing relates to our nervous system and how we can create space and notice how we're walking, when we're walking. Very simple physical things. But at the same time, you're talking about bridging to the soul, bridging to higher consciousness, bridging to monad. And, you know, here, you know, in America, we're talking to Carol from Canada. You get to be, talk about observer. You get to be in a really place of observing some pretty intense stuff going on here in America.
And yeah, we are all eyes and ears right now with all your conventions and your Hillarys and your Trumps going on down there. So we're all watching, yes.
And so these
words, quite a show.
It is quite a show. And these words like alignment, you know, sensing what you are aligned to, who are you aligned to? And it goes so far beyond the physical body. And I love that within this one paragraph of talking about alignment, you mentioned bridging. Because how can we get our ducks in a row unless we have some idea of what that row looks like? And that means they've got to bridge in some way. Energetically, there's got to be a line or a bridge that connects the first duck to the last duck.
That's right.
So bridging really is this, it's the cornerstone, meaning it is the essence and it's the core of our evolutionary process. So when we think about bridging, you know, we also think of, in so many instances, we ask, well, how can we bridge two candidates within a party that are really going head to head and now need to bring a party together? You know, they've got to create a bridge. They've got to find something in common. They've got to align behind a party. So we're not going to go into politics, but, you know, I'm just getting at there's so many subtle nuances that when we simply think about taking a deep breath, you know, your book is called Breathe, taking a breath to create space and allow for the observer to come in. And then finding that alignment, you know, there's so many subtleties to that process.
You know, just to, you always bring up so many good points. I want to respond to one of them, and that was when you talked about how bridging can encompass the, for instance, the cosmos as well as your physical body, like that there's a bridging process that is in place, that when I said earlier, when we are clear enough and quiet enough and out of our way enough to actually notice that we are connected already to the earth and to our souls and to a greater light and to each other, for example, that all those connections are already happening and in place. It's like you open up to this greater greater present and this greater truth that is beyond denominations and beyond religions. And what's so special is that the microcosm mirrors the macrocosm, of course, and we can talk about three bones in the body, as the Alexander technique talks about it, and play with them to free up your breathing, which then sets this whole process into play of living and life and letting go with the exhale. And you set it up continually. If you look at the physical body and you play with the Alexander principles, you're setting yourself up to live more fully, to breathe more fully, which is the same thing. And so knowing where your sacrum is, knowing where your sternum is, knowing where your chin is. And so it's wonderful to take these great grandiose perceptions of the cosmos and the soul, et cetera, and bring them right down to the sacrum and the chin and the sternum and realize it's all part of the same picture because we are all part of the same picture, and you can't separate anything out in at the end of the day because it's all connected. And so it's just that honoring what is, right? Honoring and freeing up what is to flow more in your own physical body, and then with speech and awareness of breath, your own emotional body, and with meditation, freeing up your mind. So,
beautiful that to sense.
Am I being clear?
You're being so clear. There's so many things I want to talk about within that. And once again, I love that you just went to physical bones of the body, and within basically the same breath, you're talking about the cosmos. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing, and something we all feel into the truth of that. I also love what you just said, that connection and that bridge is always there. And it's something, you know, even in talking about, I bring up politics because we're just in the middle of all this. And even in my talking about that, I forget that simple truth. So first of all, thank you for reminding me of that, that it's not about searching so much for this thing or building this thing. It's actually there. It's actually creating the space to allow a recognition of basic truths that are there, that we are all connected. I'd love to read, you know, I know this connection of heart, soul, earth is so important to you. It actually starts your book off. And it's actually a paragraph that I read often because I find it so inspiring. You write, "When I surrender to my breath in meditation, connecting to earth, heart, soul, and source, I become the spiritual scaffolding that creates the spaciousness I need for peace, harmony, and growth.
Woo!
Now, there
yeah, it was another inspired paragraph. I can't take ownership to this stuff. I'm not kidding. I would go into meditation, and the book kept coming through me.
Yeah.
I opened the door, and it came through. That's what happened.
Well,
not
you're
my stuff.
And is that not exactly what it says? That you, when you surrender yourself in meditation, mm-hmm. you connect mm-hmm. to the earth, and here you are. You are a writer. You are you are a healing practitioner. You connect to your heart, your soul, to source, and this comes through, and you create the spaciousness you need. There's harmony, growth, and as a result of the bridge you create through this book, we all feel that connection. You know, it is a book like this, and it is instruction like this, and teaching like this, that actually facilitates our crossing that bridge with each other. First of all, recognizing it, and lovely that you remind us it's even there, you know, that it's actually intrinsic to being a human being on this planet, that we're all interconnected.
It's so important, isn't it, to make it simple? Because, you know, a lot of us are... we get very busy, you know, we're mentally very busy. And to make this very important thing, we all know how important it is, but to make it easy and understandable quickly and just to bring it through was my motivation. You know, I wanted this to be accessible to everyone, not just people who practice esoteric healing or people who do massage therapy and know you can do 50% more for someone when they're breathing deeply. You know, I wanted it available.
Well, I want to tell our listeners, just in case you're intrigued by the little excerpts I've read, the book is called Breathe, An Enlightened Living Handbook. And once again, Carol Martin is the author. And you can search that book online for sure. You can get it on Amazon. We've got several copies of it here. And it's also available in audio form. And we're going to talk a little bit about later, the alignment it takes. You know, I know breath work and voice work is very important to you. And, you know, you created the audio version of this book yourself, which I know is a really interesting process. So we're going to talk about that in a minute. But we have a few minutes before we go to break, and you already mentioned the Alexander technique. So, you know, really let's go to the physical for a second. You mentioned these bones in the body. I would love to hear you articulate on that a little bit more, because, you know, these are skills. The bottom line is, throughout this book, you say, these are skills we can all learn. And once again, you make it very simple. You say, here are the skills you need for enlightened living. And you give very practical tools, very practical instruction to learn these skills on the physical, emotional, mental, and actually spiritual levels. So, in the first show, I mentioned that it's skill power as opposed to willpower. And, you know, I know a few people who ran with that. I introduced this book to several people, and I've seen them quote you in their blogs with that lovely saying, skill power, you know, works so much more effectively than willpower. So tell us a little bit, just a bit about the Alexander technique and what kind of skills people learn by employing that technique.
Not everybody knows about the Alexander technique, because it actually began with a man named Alexander, who was English, but living in Australia with an incurable disease of some kind in the 1800s. And he developed these series of movements that ended up curing him. And this Alexander technique, as it became known, migrated to Israel and to England and to New York. And a man named Nehemiah Cohen brought it from Israel to Canada. He renamed it the Mitzvah technique in Canada. He may have done some minor changes to it, but it's still the Alexander technique. I studied with him, and then I further studied with one of his students. Well, I was a dance student at one point at York University, and the reason it became popular initially was that actors and dancers and singers used it for freeing up the breath and for stage presence, because it works with posture in a way to bring you into balance on your feet. And that means you use fewer muscles, which creates grace of movement. And because our bodies, the emotional, mental, and physical, are so constantly in communication and related, nothing happens in one of those bodies that isn't immediately known in the other, in all of them. And so as you stand and move in with less pain, more grace, because you're resisting gravity, the weight-bearing joints are certainly relieved of compression, because the Alexander technique involves a resistance of gravity, of learning to use the front of the body as much as you use the back of your body. So learning to hold the sternum up a little bit with your abdominal muscles, which hold up the ribcage, is one of the keys, and dropping the sacrum so it's under your shoulders so that you have support in your life. It's like, do you know where your children are? No. Do you know where your sacrum is what I constantly ask my students in the class. Because knowing where your sacrum is, most people don't. They're not connecting to their sacrums. Because when you get your sacrum under your shoulders and you have that support, you can't lock your knees. And then you can't lock your spine. Which is what people do when they lock their knees. They throw themselves off balance, so they have to lock in their lower and upper spine to compensate. So it's all about getting into balance physically and moving with grace and more ease. And that translates into your emotional and mental bodies as the physical is now leading, saying, why are you out of balance emotionally and mentally? Because this is where we're at now. This is what we're doing now. I'm saying this as the physical body speaking to the emotional and mental bodies. Why are you doing that? This is where we're at now. So instead of letting the psychological unconscious patterns and habits that we all live with lead the way and become the norm for your physical, emotional, mental expression on earth, you can take ownership and leadership and choose to, you know, become conscious of what you're doing with your breath physically, with your breath emotionally, with speech, and with your breath when you meditate. And we all know that it's not what happens in your meditation that matters so much as how the outer effects are seen. In other words, how does that translate into your life? What is the impact in your life of meditation? And it's always that way with everything we do, right? It's not how many sit-ups you can do in the gym that matter. It's what do you do with your stronger stomach muscles now that you have them? How do you stand differently now that you have stronger stomach muscles? Is what you have to ask, you see?
And I would say even how are you moving through the world? I love within what you said that, you know, when you talk, so many ideas come to my mind. It's actually quite beautiful. It's very inspiring. You know, when you said, you know, where is your sacrum? And you said, you know, aligning it with your sternum then allows you can't lock your knees, which means you can be in flow. You can be in movement. And, you know, you talk about...
You can weather the storms if your knees aren't locked. Honestly, you will fall over if you've got locked knees, if a big wind comes along.
and
emotionally, mentally, that means if trouble happens, you know, in your life. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. I know, I'm so with you. It's true. You know, if a storm comes along, you're going to be blown down, which, you know, mm-hmm. so many storms can come along, you know, mm-hmm. thoughts. Mm-hmm. that feel like a storm can knock us down, you know, somebody's really wicked emotional state or our own mm-hmm. processing and not allowing movement of emotions can knock mm-hmm. us down. So we need to be in that upright position that allows for fluidity and
flexibility at the knees. That's so related to mental flexibility and emotional stability and stuff like that.
Well, and don't we need to be flexible in order to be cooperative, in order
exactly.
to coordinate? And when we think about bridging, if we're bridging as a humanity, mm-hmm. you know, really that kind of flexibility is necessary if we are ever going to come into alignment, not only with ourselves, but with each other. It's inevitable. I'm going to keep bringing it back to humanity. And, you know,
but why not? Because really, that's that's what's happening. You know, all these little little pieces make up the whole, and it's always going to be that way. And so we change the little pieces, and ultimately we begin to change the whole. We change ourselves. We help impact society by doing that, right?
What a beautiful service. You know, the beautiful woman that we had on last week, her name is Jessica Kern. She as well employs a list of very similar modalities, not unlike yourself. But, you know, I know that you teach as well. You teach esoteric healing. You teach these very sort of, you really can relate it to the greater purpose of our being here. We're going to go to a break in a minute, but before we do, Carol, I want to read, I'm going to read this whole book to our listeners because I love it so much. Listen to this quote. Here comes another channel. You're talking about a perfect world. I mean, when you see this line, perfect world, it says this: in a perfect world, every deep and full breath would mirror the total unconditional love and acceptance we have for ourselves, for one another, and life. This would be because we are spiritually enlightened, our energy flow perfect and in balance, and as a result, our bodies would be free of all disease. Our personalities would be soul-infused, incapable of selfish, greedy, or fear-based thoughts, being in direct contact with our highest spiritual self. Oh, right. Gorgeous. That really is a perfect world. And, you know, what I love about that, Carol, is it's really accessible.
That's right. It's just a matter of steps. So we have to begin to become skillful so that we can begin to take these steps. But the first step is to learn to observe, because until you can move to the observer, and that is such a very important step and such a special place to be, you don't begin to experience the neutrality and the unconditional love that's necessary to overcome the resistance, which is fear-based in all of us. And that's why we need to learn to go to the observer.
And that is the place of the soul. You know, that is the observer is what sets us apart as individuals. So, Carol, we're going to go to a break.
Okay.
When we come back, I want to talk a bit more about that, about resistance and about the observer. We'll be right back with Carol Martin.
There are so many resources out there for meditation, but did you know that Atana's Heart Earth Healing Meditation is available for you for free? Yes, that's right. You can receive this free healing meditation today from Atana Vadili. All you need to do is visit his website, atanamethod.com. That's A-T-A-A-N-A method.com, and sign up. You will receive your free meditation instantly. That's atanamethod.com.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Get into it for 2016. Do you want more prosperity, clarity, energy, and balance in your life? Join Lynn Brown now for one of her amazing workshops, each focusing on a key part of living your best life. For more information And to register for one of these amazing workshops, visit LynnBrownEvent.com. That's LynnBrownEvent.com. And get into it this 2016 with Lynn Brown.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, this is Leslie Fontaine, and my show is Sheer Alchemy on TransformationTalkRadio.com. When we're bogged down with our emotions, the hardships that plague us in our relationships, at work, our finances, we literally can't see the higher plane where we could be operating from. Tune in to Leslie Fontaine, Sheer Alchemy on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. We're having such a delightful conversation today with Carol Martin. She is the author of just a wonderful book called Breathe, an Enlightened Living Handbook. Carol teaches wonderful classes that are related to this book. This book is a handbook for the classes, actually. It's called the Enlightened Living Seminar. Carol's coming to us out of Ontario, Canada. Welcome back, Carol.
Hi, Steve.
Lovely that you're here with us today. And, you know, before the break, we were talking about the observer. And we were talking about that being key. And that is so much a part of meditation. So many people think that meditation is really simply just checking out. And when they come to realize that actually meditation is about checking in a really big way, it kind of scares them, and they think, oh, I don't even know if this is what I signed up for. And it's really a process to, first of all, align oneself and to get to know the various aspects of ourselves so that we can actually become that observer that I'm wanting to say the word clean. That's probably not such a good word. Where we're actually able to observe our truth, where we really are able to see ourselves in clear light. There we go. I've got it. So, you know, our physical body, our emotional body, our mental body, all of them can really get in the way of being that observer, or the observer can actually tell us so much and provide so much information on this observer self. So that's really the key. That's meditation, is we're learning to observe. And once we mentioned before the break, you know, once we get to that place of the observer, we really are cooking with gas. This is the point where we have access to our really higher spiritual self. We've got access to what one might call the soul, what one might call our higher self, our innermost, our spiritual self. So, Carol, I'm going to read a paragraph from the book, and I just would love to hear your thoughts on it after I read this. I just find this so beautiful. It's a section called "The Breath Takes You to the Observer, the Door." Becoming more conscious of your breath and learning to allow it to deepen naturally is a surrender to your life and your being. It is a powerful and loving act of acceptance that speaks to every cell in your body. That is so true. It is the key to the door of your own evolution. Know where the door is, have the key to open it, and then with practice, you will walk through whenever you want to.
I like that paragraph, too. I'm so glad I still like my book, because I've read it so many times in all the edits and the reading of the audio version 3 times and so on. But thank you for reading that.
Indeed.
I like that one.
I hope I read it with the same sort of, you know, energetic that you embody when
yes,
you read it.
You did. It's important to know you can find it, you can learn how to find it. You can go there whenever you want to. And by going there repeatedly, you will learn to walk through the door whenever you want to. And it sort of speaks to the fact that it is a process. It's very personal. And it's a going within.
Yeah.
And there's much to be discovered. Unfortunately, one of the things we all discover when... Can I wax and wane on this for a minute? Or did you have a question?
Please do.
What we discover when we go in is we discover we have hidden a lot of pain and suffering that we didn't want to acknowledge that has happened to us. And that's true for most people. And it's a given. And this is the basis, I think, of our resistance to going within. Because it's like you open up a door to something you're afraid of. You're afraid of it because pain and suffering is no fun. And it can be overwhelming because our feelings have that much power. They feel overwhelming at the time. And so why I bring up the topic of resistance is that it is inevitable as you go on a spiritual path to open up to your higher self and the light, you also have to embrace the darkness that is down in your psychology, mainly in your feelings. And it's the unfinished emotional business that we all have that we need some help to get through. Either we need outside help or we need to know that, and I teach this very strongly when I teach this class, and I speak about it in the book. This can be gone through if you are located in the observer, because when you are in the observer, you are under the protection of your heart center, and you have to know that the unconditional love and acceptance that is involved in the energy of the heart center is the very energy that heals your emotional traumas. It is that heals them. So the healing power is within us. And sometimes we need outside help in order to get there and stay there and have a witness. But by being able to go to the observer yourself, you begin to train yourself to be your own witness. And you train yourself also to stay in that neutral, loving place that accepts whatever comes up. And that is how it is transmuted or released.
And that's a very aspect that you just brought up is being willing to stay there when it arises, because it will arise. And to know that is the absolute purpose. That is the spiritual path.
That's right. Is
entertaining that. And, you know, it's when we get stuck in that suffering. You mentioned, I'm about to go on my own little diatribe. I hope you don't mind. We'll come right back. Because you said some really wonderful things. The very fact that you mentioned earlier the sternum and you mentioned the sacrum, you know, really the sternum there is where our heart center, you know, that is the area of our heart center. And our sacrum really is the area of our physical being. So if we put those two together, we really are the essence of our physical being. When we relate our interconnectedness and our willingness to be open and receive with our being here, a lot of things arise and a lot of potential is there. And it is that those arisings that are just clearing space, as you say, you know, and in the book, you talk about that quite a bit, that first, the breath opens us up to the observer. Then the observer opens us up to all of these gems that are ourselves in the present moment. It is our physical self, all of our aches and pains, but all of our potential, our emotional self, all of this muck, but also our joys and delights and the capacity to have both. And our mental body, which is access to our soul, our thoughts, our inspirations, but also these nagging thought forms. So we get to work with this stuff is what you're saying. You know, this is the opportunity if we're willing to sit and stay, we get to work with it, right?
That's right. And it may not come up during the meditation, but you are opening a door to accepting and loving yourself as you are now, you know, warts and all. That means with the unresolved emotional baggage that we all have that is waiting for I talk about feelings being like children, and they need space. They need to be accepted. They need to be understood in this moment. And then they'll run off and play, and the upset will be gone, And our feelings are just energy that needs our attention and our acceptance and our thoughts as well. So many people have trouble meditating because their mind won't shut off. My theory about that is that we simply do not listen to ourselves enough. And so once you're in an open listening space, the mind is going to give you what you haven't been hearing. And sometimes you have to be patient and let it finish before you can access the higher mind in the inspiration and the intuition and the imagination. But it's just a question of attending to your own business, you know?
And creating
credit for yourself, in other words. So that's it. It's simple.
Absolutely.
Very simple.
It sounds simple. You know, there we go. The instruction is so simple. And the understanding of that concept is so simple. But it's the doing it is the process. And as you say, that's where we get tripped up in our mind. Because we have an idea about it. But when it comes to actually doing it is where we get tripped up. And so many of us, what that says is that we're actually just not living and enjoying the present moment and with all that it gives. And that is the perfect moment for a breath. That is the perfect moment for a short meditation, for an alignment, you know, a breath that allows alignment. So once again, to the listeners, you know, Carol's book just outlines this in such a simple, practical, useful form in ways to not only understand the relationship between these physical skills, emotional skills, and mental skills, but their relationships to each other and the ways that one duck out of the row really does affect all the other ducks. And, you know, how to notice that, you know, where are your ducks? It's really quite something. I'm so appreciative to have this book in my beautiful little hands. So Carol, you know, I would just love to hear once again, you know, you mentioned earlier this, you said, you know, the audiobook. And I talked to you a bit about this because it's recent. Yeah, you must be excited. The book is now out in audio. It's something you worked on for a while.
Yeah, that's true. I got the print book started in 2013 and the audiobook came out only this year. So 3 years later, a friend of mine who's a retired United Church minister and a singer-songwriter and teaches music. He said he could record it for me. So instead of going into a sterile studio to do it in the normal way, we did it in my office with my window open in the summer mainly, with crickets chirping sometimes and the odd car going by. But you know what? It was for me an audition to see if I was good enough to read my own book, because there's a reason people hire people to read their books, because it's a skill to read a book. And I read it twice through and recorded it and thought I might be ready to read it for real after the second reading. But it was only near the end of the second reading that I actually got into my stride, and I had to redo chapter one of the third reading. And that's because my voice had become lost over the years, and I spent most of my life, I'm 68 now, I spent most of my life looking for it, and in reading this book, I found it. There was something about reading it that was important for me to do. And I'm really glad for my own sake that I read it. And I think I did a good job. I hope I did a good job. I've had people say, and my experience was the same, that it was easier to take in the information auditorily than it is to read it. I don't know why that would be, but that's the feedback I'm getting. And that's my experience as well.
I would agree. And I would say that you most definitely have found your voice, that it is absolute perfection. And there is something beautiful that comes along to hearing the voice of the actual audio voice of the person whose voice whose spiritual voice, whose soul voice, whose innermost voice is coming through in these words. And I agree. There are certain people who read books that I actually follow. I love the way they read a book, and I would choose an audiobook just because I love the way they read. But there is something to hearing an author read their own book, because you're not only hearing their words, you know, you are hearing the expression of their soul, of their higher self. And it's really quite lovely. Gary Zukav, Seed of the Soul, you know, his audio is himself reading, and it is just pure magic. As is Breathe, you know, as read by you, Carol. So I only kind of diverged to that because I knew that would come out, that really there was a process of finding your stride and a process of finding your voice. And, you know, listen, I am wound up as an individual. You know, Tim sits here beside me very, you know, I'm the talker, and he's a wonderful energetic support. He helps with all the technical stuff. He is really so organized, and I so appreciate his energy here. And sometimes he'll just put his hand on my knee, which means, like, Steve, chill out, calm down, take a breath. And I have to watch myself with that. And one thing I took out of our radio show, I'm so blessed, as Tim says he is as well, that we get to have these shows because we learn something. We always walk away with a show learning something beautiful. And you taught me to breathe within my voice, and that it is so important, because it really then is this connection of the physical, the mental, and the emotional. It creates space for us to sense our feelings around our words. How do I feel about the direction my words are taking? How do I feel about my tone? And what am I saying? Am I really connected to my higher self? Am I allowing inspiration and intuition to come in? And am I just going slow enough that my nervous system isn't just all wound up from just really physically speaking too fast? So number one, I want to say thank you for that. I learned a lot, and I've learned, I hear you say, you know, to breathe within the breath can be so revolutionary and evolutionary, and it's a fact. And I know that just being on this show with you, I can sense that my tone is down. I'm calm. I'm actually processing. I'm receptive. And so, you know, it's almost like we're having a little energy session here, Carol. It's lovely. But it's a fact. So, you know, I've known you for several years. And when you say you've searched for your voice over all these years, do you feel the voice, for instance, that we're talking with today to you, does that sound, feel energetically or vibrationally different than it would have 10 years ago?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah, because let's say, I'm not sure why that would be, you know, the mechanics of it all, other than what you and I both know about integration of the physical, emotional, mental bodies being a long process that is our process of evolution. And I know that when I'm attentive to my breath more, and by teaching this, I have taught what I needed to learn, of course, and I believe my emotional body processing has moved faster forward than it would have otherwise. I know that to be, I think that is true. And so that allows for more integration between my physical, emotional, and mental bodies. Because every time you remove some of the unresolved material, you're removing energy blocks that are inherent, you know, with us. And so it's always a question of, as you said earlier, clean. Well, it's a question of continually cleaning. What people don't get is you can't clean your house once and then expect that to be it. So what is hard for most people is that there's a step, six steps of change, is the middle steps that require the observation and the maintenance so that you can adjust as you go along. That's what creates change in our lives. But if we're not present, if we're not observing, we can't maintain the momentum that we started with a view to going in a particular direction. And so it's always the daily work It's always having, to my mind, it's always having something like scaffolding, something like some structure to implement, you know this will work. You know it will help continue the process of emptying, of cleaning, of clearing at the psychological, emotional, particularly emotional level. Those are the important things in our lives. And you need to be present in order to know that. And you need to experience that in order to go back and do it again.
Yeah.
Because that's very important. Going within this observer part, that's the key. Until you know there's a problem, you're not even going to deal with it. And so you need to be the observer in order to participate in a way with your own evolution.
And to know it and to make conscious choices. You know, you say skill power versus willpower, which is, I love it. At the same,
I stole that though from someone.
Well, that's okay.
It was a great book I read called The Metastat Solution. I forget his name offhand. I quote him in my book.
Yes.
Dr. Stephen Cooper.
You do. And plenty of people have stolen it again. Or it's, I wouldn't call it stealing. We're just spreading the good word, right? But you know, that we are given free will. I mean, that is law. That is energetic law. We have free will to do what we will with ourselves. And you really do have to make that choice of the observer and knowing what that alignment looks like and feels like. So then at least you have the potential or the opportunity to make that choice again for yourself. There's a sentence, you know, you're talking about the benefits of all of this work, and you say the process of change, of allowing our carefully constructed defenses. I love that. They really are carefully constructed defenses, and we have carefully constructed them, make no mistake. Mm-hmm. You say, the process of change, of allowing our carefully constructed defenses and blocks to soften and move out of our way so that we can move on in our lives. You say it's a touchy subject, and I agree that it is, because it is inevitable that once we step on the spiritual path, and we could argue that just about that everybody's on the spiritual path no matter what, but once we consciously say, I'm going to attempt to observe this stuff, you know, that we have no choice but to soften and move out of the way, because it will inevitably be there. It is when we can get is, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. You know, it really is only when we've done that major clearing out that we get to the point where we use our emotional skills in a way that just becomes almost a navigation tool, where we can sense right away, this situation is good for me, this situation is not good for me, this is for the betterment of all and the highest good for myself and for all, or not. And when we get to that point where we've actually caught up and we're now at zero, it's almost like we've paid off our debt or we've cleaned the house to the point where we can have upkeep. We really then can use our emotional system, you know, to in its, I would say, in the way it is designed to be used as a navigation system.
That would be nice.
Isn't that a perfect world for all of us? Carol, I just want to say, you know, I want to warn before we get going again, I'm seeing that we just have a couple minutes left to the show. This went so fast.
Can I read something about the observer again that I like?
I would love you to. Yeah, we have a couple minutes. Go on.
Okay. I'll read quickly. To reach the observer, one has to be in present time. We travel to the observer within us on our breath. Once there, if we allow awareness and our breath to just be present without an agenda, time expands. We can easily traverse decades of time or miles of space in that quiet, still place within us that is beyond space and time. Being in the observer perspective is an opportunity to know what needs to be known, see what needs to be seen, feel what needs to be felt, and understand what is ready to be understood. Downloads from the higher self and soul become commonplace as one learns to rest in the observer and allow the personal clearing to occur naturally as awareness opens with the energies of love, compassion, and understanding. This allows for the transmutation of the emotional and mental blocks we carry around with us that are just waiting for resolution and release. That's the part I wanted to get to.
And you know, here's the line that just gets me. We have a minute left and we're going to end with this.
Okay.
You know, spiritfireradio.com for all of you. You can do a Google search for Carol Martin and Breath, the Enlightened Living Handbook. It's all out there and ready for you. I'm going to end the show with that line. It gave me chills and almost brought a tear to my eye. Being in the observer perspective is an opportunity to know what needs to be known, see what needs to be seen, feel what needs to be felt, and understand what is ready to be understood. Carol, just gorgeousness. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a delight, and I wish you the best with this book. May everybody listening order it on audio, order the book themselves, because you're going to be marking it up and underlining it. So it's just been a pleasure. Thank you so much, Carol.
Okay. Thanks, Steve.
All right. We'll
talk.
See you, listeners, next week. We'll be back with Spirit Fire Radio.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to meditation and living with awareness. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover the ways that consciousness is being cultivated in everyday life. Connect to your day in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more about Spirit Fire, visit spiritfireradio.com.